Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dev, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B Austin, the hot block commander.
How you wanna end up 1 or 2 hour show to keep the brain running with the premise to talk sports on a national level? Bold with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine, sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table. Five Philly guys, diversified and educated.
Here was good, War Room family. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports on the War Room Sports Podcast Network. I'm one of your hosts. I'm the Bull Dev Mac, and I'm at the War Room Roundtable with my brothers. Y'all know who my brothers are. We got B. Austin. We got Jimmy the Blueprint. Yo, fellas, one half of the NBA Finals is set, and the other half could be set after tonight. So we're going to discuss how we got here and the quote-unquote royal comments that made everybody and everything else that happened in sports this week irrelevant. So sit back, relax, bust it up with your brothers in the war room, the greatest man cave in the history of the world. Episode 681 starts now, and the countdown, man, we got 19 episodes left, at least, you know, in our weekly show. So, you know, It's almost time. But look, y'all can get in on the conversation like you have for the past 681 weeks by signing in right now to the Bottlehood chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. You could join us on Facebook, Twitter, IG, all that shit, at War Room Sports. We'll also be taking your calls in about 30 minutes on the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline. That number is 323-410-0012. Not sure if we're going to get any calls because we are broadcasting at a special time this evening, and I don't know if anybody saw those ads, but if you did, you did. If you didn't, you didn't. We holler at you whenever. But look, man, what up? Y'all surprised that Brittany Griner's first game back wasn't a sellout? Why they ain't buying these tickets?
She came back?
They ain't trying to see men versus women.
Those are the thoughts of B. Austin and B. Austin alone. I want nothing to do with those thoughts.
Yo, but what is it? We got a bunch of talktivists out here. They ain't really activists. Everybody want to talk about how they shouldn't have to go play overseas to get money. The WNBA don't pay them enough and this and that. But when the financial angle comes up, you know, it doesn't do anything to move all of these talktivists because, you know, why are all these people not buying tickets? I don't get it.
I mean, it might be better off just, like, putting up a GoFundMe. I think it's, like, people
give to them Jones for no reason.
GoFundMe
GoFundMe is the way to go. Than they do, like, selling tickets. Like, so WNBA might be better off just asking for donations. They might get it faster.
Yeah.
Donations. I thought it was the trash. Don't be hitting on me.
Yo, and the work in the beliefs of the good brother Claude, Dr. Claude Anderson, people, but what you put your money behind is what you really believe in. They don't believe in the WF.
They just like
don't
talk.
Believe in
it. They just like
don't believe.
Yo, but now just to shoot them a little bit of bail. Like it's one thing to support like her sport or whatever. Another thing to not want to see someone unfairly like harmed. You know what I'm saying? Like so, I could on one hand say yo. And, you know, I know these aren't the people you're talking about, but I could say, yo, they're treating her wrong, they're doing her dirty, and I want her to come home. But I could also care about how she make her bread.
Right, at the same time. Right. Like, I don't care what she make. What she make, don't make me shit. But.
What do you say to the contingent of people that don't believe that they should have let Victor Von Doom, the Merchant of Death, out in the exchange? Man, never mind. Go ahead, man.
What do you say to me? I don't know. I don't talk to myself. So,
I mean, to me, that's one of those situations where it's like, I'm glad that ain't my decision to make. You know what I'm saying?
Yo.
Like, just, you know, politics is weird. But listen, man, I heard Bomani say something funny. Like, it was very simple. It had nothing to do with the subject of what he was talking about. But what he said was, he was like, yo, when getting older is recognizing that the world is complex and nothing is really black and white. And that resonated with me because I'm like, yo, that's kind of how that is. Like, I get on the one hand why you do it, but I'm glad I didn't have to make that decision. But I get both sides of the argument. And the older
right.
you get, the
I
more
mean,
you get both sides of the argument.
So you're going to get scrutinized on both sides. All crazy.
Yeah, you can't.
You know what I mean?
You can't.
But my thing is going to, like, God forbid a merchant of death grab his homies and a bunch of his weapons and come over here and shoot up a WNBA game. How ironic would that be?
Hey, yeah. I bet you they get more traction than the same ball.
People will buy tickets to the next game, even though they shot it up. Yeah.
I mean, the fact of the matter is, like, we don't care about that, but we also don't care about, like Charlotte Hornet ball games, too. Like, funny thing
right.
is, there's certain NBA teams that don't do numbers either. They just happen to get welfare from all the good teams. Like, when you – I don't know if you ever got a chance to listen to that pod I sent you about the business breakdown of the NBA.
Not yet,
but
no.
Damn, I forgot about that. Pod, talk about, like, half of the NBA teams be welfare teams. It's just that the ones at the very top do so well in the way
they
structure that sharing. Yeah, that sharing pay for the WNBA. You know, some of them teams that don't nobody care about.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Like you said, shout out to the Hornets. I mean, the Hornets get no run from me when Melo's hurt. And he always hurt, so the Hornets don't get no run from me.
Yo, same here, bro. If he's playing, I cut it on. If he ain't playing, I don't care about nothing.
Right.
Going on.
It's like, we're not trying to pile on the Hornets, but y'all first one to come to mind.
I'm just picking them because I remember distinctively him using their name as an example, but it's kind of like the same thing in NFL too, right? That's why getting a sports franchise is so valuable because it's a license to print money because even if you're terrible at what you do, because of revenue
sharing, still printing money.
Like, yo, because of revenue sharing, like, I think the Lakers had to write Memphis a check for, like, $30 million just based upon the money they made on TV. Because it's like, we got to share revenue. Like, the Lakers had to write them a check.
That's crazy.
Because of, like, the revenue sharing, like, you know. And the Memphis is the better. Anyway, that's a whole other story. But anyway.
Yeah. I feel sorry for the Grizzlies, though. They went from Vancouver to Memphis. Like, pick a better city, dog. Like, they went from Vancouver to Memphis. Like, they struck out twice.
I mean, I get it,
dog,
but
that's two strikes,
one day I'm going to get y'all to come to my big city theory, man, because that's where the money is.
All right, man. Y'all know what it is, though. Before we get started, we just got to remind y'all that whether you're with us live or not, on any time on demand, you can still check out archive episodes of our show and all of our partner shows at the War Room Sports Podcast Network, either on our own website at warroomsports.com, or you can check out any of the shows on any of the major podcast listening platforms. So there's never an excuse to miss an episode, so don't miss an episode. Shout out to the homies over at Tissue and the Tape, Bod and Phil Matic, Roy and Chris over on the Broad Street Line, Superstars, John Appetit, On the Couch with the Wilsons, whole lot more. Check it out. All right, so Hot Topics, y'all know usually, and it still is, brought to you by MyBookie. War Room family, it's time for you to get your parlay on. Time to start betting at MyBookie. If you still haven't checked them out, then it's time to stop playing. Place a bet. Lay down some money on all the biggest games in sports, and when you do, make sure you throw in the promo code WARROOM, all caps, one word. That'll activate an offer that will get you 50% off of your first deposit up to $1,000. So go to mybookie.ag and do that. Play, win, and get your bread. There's nothing else to say here. All right, man, so, you know, not a lot of big things happened in NBA this week, but like I said in the open, one story kind of, you know, just a few words just took on a life of his own and kind of made everything else that happened this week irrelevant. The story that we're about to talk about, this is not that. We're going to talk about some of the stuff that got pushed under the rug right after these messages.
I remember the days when I had nothing, just a ball on the court, and a dream of something more. But basketball was my outlet. My purpose was strong, my communities, the cities I represented with pride, and the fans that supported me along the way. I am forever grateful for those people and places, because they made me Carmelo Anthony. But now the time has come for me to say goodbye. To the court where I made my name, to the game that gave me purpose and pride. But this bittersweet goodbye to the NBA, I'm excited about what the future holds for me. When people ask what I believe my legacy is, it's not my feats on the court that come to mind, nor the awards or praise, because my story has always been more than basketball. My legacy, my son,
it's in you. I will forever continue through you, because the time has come for you to carry this torch. So, Kai, chase your dreams. Let nothing hold you back. Let nothing intervene. My legacy, now and forever, lives on through you. And I'll always be proud of all that you do.
Peace.
We got to keep it real with reality, and reality gonna keep it real with us. I remember them good old days.
Hey, man, shout out to Carmelo Anthony announcing his official retirement, since, you know, the league and tried to push him out twice over the last few years. I don't care with any of the slander that he's gotten throughout his career. When you really sit back and peel back them layers, you kind of know what that's about, but he'll forever be one of my favorite players to watch. So shout out to Carmelo, man. And yo, can y'all hear anybody talk behind that song and not get emotional?
Yo, yo, I happened to be cooking when I first saw it, and a lot of onions and what I was preparing. I didn't cut them underwater, so you know. And Lisa, my wife, was dusting. She was dusting the living room when I went. So. Yeah,
so all that onion gas and that dust.
I ain't gonna lie though.
Yeah.
When I saw it, I was laughing my ass off, because in the video he's telling the son, like, yo, you got next, you my legacy, but he was busting his ass on the court.
Yeah. But you know what, Jim? That wasn't the official video though. That was something somebody else made. Like, the official video was him sitting on the couch talking to his son, and they were showing Carmelo highlights. Because I thought the same thing. I'm like, damn.
Okay.
I'm like, how you talking about his legacy, but they showing him cracking his son.
So I gotta go back and watch.
Yeah, we got
the
remix
one
first.
I watched the remix, y'all. Like, yo,
yeah, we
he
got
was
the
talking
remix.
To his son, but they was in the gym, and Melo
right.
was torching his dumb ass.
Because like, when I first saw that, I'm like, yo, how are you promoting him as next, and you showing that he ain't shit right now? He was killing him. I'm like, this don't go. But then I realized that wasn't the real joint. Somebody else made that. That was
okay. All right. Got you. I gotta check it out then, because Melo put his ass in the post and was torching him.
Yeah. The one I texted you this morning though. That was the real joint.
Okay.
He was just sitting on the couch talking to him. And,
got you. All right. Got you. All right. Yeah.
But how do y'all think Melo is gonna be remembered? Because I remember from Melo a real strong start. But when you come out and you're supposed to be, you know, second fiddle in this very talented draft to LeBron James and everything that they had already said LeBron was going to be, that he lived up to, by the way. You know, you already were at a deficit when you began, but Melo kind of started a little stronger, you know, made the playoffs, you know, before LeBron did, but never really got over that hump to win a championship. So how do y'all think he's going to be remembered? Is Melo going to be another Charles Barkley?
Yes, it's funny. It's funny. I see it in two ways. One positive, one kind of negative. The negative, I'll start, because that's what sells, and that's what y'all really want to hear. the fact that he fizzled towards the end, which was a little, it wasn't a whole lot of his fault. It was circumstantial, situational, but the fact that he fizzled. And we're such a culture of immediacy, and what have you done for me lately? And the fact that this, you know, the generations coming up behind us are stupid. They're going to focus and hone in on what they saw last and what they remember last, which is going to be damaging to his legacy. He's clear cut Hall of Famer. Like, he don't got to worry about that. Like, he's going in the Hall. He will be known as a Hall of Famer, but I don't think he's going to get his due in the pantheon of greats that he should. because of the fizzle. That's the down. That's the negative. The
but the crazy part about that, though, B, I'm going to let you finish, but the crazy part about that, some players fizzle, but people hold their name up so high and keep that going that even if all you saw as a youngster was the fizzle, you start buying into what people were saying, like most of the time. Like a Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan don't get that kind of slander.
I disagree with that, though.
Hold on, because let me finish. That's where I was going with it. There is a chance that the cultural lore and the media machine would get hold of him because of he's such a fit into the culture, black culture, sports culture, that they will hold him in high esteem based on that cultural. Because to your point, there are guys that get a little bit more love based on media, and that's the thing. Carmelo played his entire career in the media in an age where everything is reported, everything is seen. So his whole career is documented. It's not like a Wilt thing where so much of it is legend and lore and there is no evidence. Now, we got all the evidence and all the tape. So there's still the possibility of the fact that he is beloved because of his cultural significance. People get a hold of that and take the narrative in a different direction. So that's the
thing. I know, but the crazy part, when Melo was still balling, his narrative was already negative, though.
In New York, he played like trash.
I just want to add to the conversation because I kind of disagree with that, 1,000%, because one of the things I recognize, and I was thinking about it this week as I was watching, everything going on with Bron, and, dude is in year 20, and, the way people still talk about him. So I started thinking about the greats, and then I watched that KG and, Joakim Noah clip. And I'm like, yo, when it comes to the great players, we tend to forget their later years when they, lag on. And I'm talking about across the board. No one talks about KG in Brooklyn. No one talks about
Mike. That was kind of my point, though, Jim. If people hold their name in esteem and they tell these youngsters this is one of the greatest players of all time, nobody, cares about that. But I just, with Melo, he was still balling when people were saying negative stuff about him. Kids who only saw Duncan average 13 points a game, they hear so much that he's the greatest power forward of all time. They go with that narrative. So I think we're kind of saying the same thing. We just said it
But I think that Tim Duncan is an interesting case because it's he still doesn't care about any of this. So he disappears at times. Tim Duncan be going for a couple of years without us even seeing where he is.
But these kids ain't see Tim Duncan when he was.
And when he disappears, with the same clothes on and comes back with the same clothes he had on.
Only thing that's different is his hair. It just looked like it grew and he stopped combing it.
But what's the point of being wealthy?
What's the point of being wealthy if you're going to do that?
So,
if
you're
still shopping at Walmart.
He's going to always be wealthy. That's the point.
Yeah, that's the point. Also, I'm still bottom yam. So, the thing is, we talk about how kids look. So I remember reading, I actually talked about it in the Sports Book, how they've proven through studies that every generation believes theirs is the best. So some of these kids don't even care about the history of the game, right? They don't even, they slander Mike. I sent you that thread the other day, Boy went in on Mike. I'm like, yo, he took time to. Anyway, so how Melo will be remembered, it kind of depends upon what he does also in retirement, right? So, Barkley still gets a certain level of respect, but he's probably known more now for his broadcasting career than his playing days, even though he was that great. But I still see people talking about how good he is because he's still relevant in the sport. The thing about basketball is not just a fraternity amongst the players, but when you retire and, you still work within the business, you tend to – we always talk about that, how you see certain dudes get in the Hall of Fame, and you be like, yo, did he get in the Hall of Fame because he's still in the sport as a broadcaster? I feel like they'd be wanting – certain broadcasters to get in so they can call Hall of Famer, as they come on TV. But so I think it depends upon if Melo just disappears.
That's better for that network. We got the Hall of Famer on the panel.
Yeah, exactly. If Melo just disappears out into the ether, it's one thing. And, from what I understand from reading, he's made, a certain crazy investments where Melo is sitting on a, uh, you know, a young fortune. So he may not even.
I mean, and he has a son who's going to play, so he's not going to be able to disappear. So
I guess to his point in that video, his legacy kind of is his son, because he's going to be relevant if his son gets, you know, if his son,
mm-hmm.
Fulfills his dream. So we'll see, though. But I think that overall, to be Austin's point, Melo has been important in the culture. Melo, outside of Bubba Chuck, represents hip-hop culture probably more than any other NBA player.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, well,
I think we definitely were saying the same thing. We just took it from two different angles, Pauls. But not Pauls, but we won't be taking nothing. You know what I mean? It'd be consensual.
I got you.
Whatever angles we take her from, it's consensual. With Melo, the reason I said that about him is because, like I said, like, people already feed into the negative narrative of Melo, even when he was still balling. Melo selfish, you don't care about winning championships. Melo just want to score this and that. Like, I'm hoping that goes away, you know what I mean, at some point. So hopefully the people who did love Melo, you know, raises his name up. And I mean, because he did a lot of stuff that, like, for a dude who is that skilled and that prideful, like, he did stuff towards the end of his career that Allen Iverson refused to do. Like, Melo came off the bench. He took lesser roles. You know what I mean? He had to check his pride at the door. And that's difficult to do when you've been the man, you know, throughout your career. So, you know, I love watching Melo play, man.
Love watching all his offense.
And he has the respect of his peers more than a lot of people, too.
His offensive skill set was immaculate conception. But let me ask y'all a question. And for the love of the game, for the love of the religion, I've come to a place where I acknowledge that LeBron James is definitely top five and probably top three, right? But this conversation about Melo gets me to a place where we're talking about how people's legacies and legends, you know, it some is accelerated, some, you know, gets forgotten. When did we agree, and I know I can count on y'all, like, when did we agree for sure that Kobe and Larry Legend aren't who they were? Like,
I mean,
like,
for me, it's
slighted and Larry gets slighted. Being
for me,
more than Larry.
It's kind of the point that I'm making, though, B, like, it depends on how people keep your name up. You know what I'm saying? As good as Larry is and as much respect as he does get, we, not us, but we as a culture, we still allow a lot of people to disrespect Larry Bird. You know, because, you know, young boys come up and they talk about him being white and, you know, they put him in on the plumbers that Jordan was going against. So he might be collateral damage when somebody else is getting slandered, but we allow people to do that. So, and that's what I'm saying, like, some people, like, we don't really allow people to talk trash about, I think the people who talk the most trash about Tim Duncan is probably us, and we be joking half the time, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because at this point,
nobody lets you, Tim the best.
Tim Duncan slid into the underrated category at this point for me, like, as I watch things play out. He kind of, like, went from, you know, that dude to everybody, you know, puts over Chuck to, like, now your dude might be underrated because,
like, I think the younger, how you said everybody, you know, of course they catered to their generation. But even young boys, you ask them who's the greatest power forward of all time, a lot of them say Tim, and they didn't really see him play. So even if we watch the game and we cater to our generation, we still have a certain respect for past generations. Because if you ask us the top 10, top 20, there'll be people in our top 10 and top 20 that we've never seen play before. Wilt.
Is some of that with Tim because the young bulls understand that they are in a generation that is devoid of powerful forwards?
That's funny because I was about to say that. They don't really have anybody to put over them, so if we're telling them Tim is the best, what they going to
do? When you watch
– I mean, I've heard somebody say Anthony Davis before, but then his narrative gets so – when you play with Bron, your narrative is not going to stay the same.
And then you got
all of the failure of your team is going to go on you now because it ain't going to go on Bron.
half man, half season be doing it to himself. But that's either here nor there. But I have heard that before. But the fact of the matter is, like, the entire game of basketball has changed. Like, it just has changed. Like, I heard someone say the other day, like, Joel Embiid is like a once-in-a-generation player, but he came along in the wrong generation. Like, if he could play maybe 10 years ago, it would be different. But the game is so fast now and so wide open. Like, it's just a different game. So when you start comparing people from generation to generation, it just doesn't work. You can't apply,
right?
But with that being said, though, in terms of Melo and to me, it just all matters on how he hangs around the game. I don't think that even be talking about his later years and even the Portland years. First of all, the Knicks are going to draw because they don't have anything else to celebrate. So if they retire Melo, he's going to be known as a Knickerbocker. What's interesting is the whole Denver thing, because people forget like how dominant he was at Denver, taking to the playoffs and whatnot. But I don't
and
know
they don't, and they already gave away his number to somebody who might have a better legacy. And they trash Melo in Denver, yeah.
They do.
You can put his jersey in the rafters, but you can't retire it because somebody might be better than Melo got the jersey now.
Right. Here's the thing, though. If Jokic wants to win over, he's already got people, like, switching sides. But if he really wanted to switch sides, what if he came out and was like, yo, I'm changing my number next year because this is Melo's number and nobody else should wear it? Boy, he would have the hip-hop generation.
I'm about to say, hey, Jim, at that point, Joel Embiid is going to be a total piece of shit. And y'all get the correlation if y'all paying attention. Y'all get that correlation. If you do that, people going to be like, yo, Joel, garbage. I don't know why I ever thought he was the MVP.
He didn't need clutch to teach him that, but you know, that would be a crazy, like, media move for his part. But, yeah, man, so, man, congratulations to Melo for a hell of a career. Don't forget, like, it's not NBA Hall of Fame, it's Basketball Hall of Fame. He's also a college.
Oh, yeah, that Syracuse run.
Champion as a freshman.
Yeah. That was legendary, so you make sure you add that to his resume, too. You know, so salute.
Well, like B said, they ain't got no problem with the Hall of Fame. Like, that's first ballot, first day.
It's just crazy.
He's definitely doing
that. That 03 draft was so wild. Like, we got literally all-time greats coming out of that jump.
Yeah, shout out to Melo, man. We wanted to give you a few minutes because not a lot of people did because somebody else hinted at possible retirement, even though it was baseball cap. Shout out to Melo, man, and shout out to, you know, the way he did it was kind of dope, too, especially if you see the real video and not just the remix. It was kind of cool.
All right,
so the conference finals, of course, one of them's over, but the one that's still in progress, the two-seeded Celtics trail the Heat 3-1. Now, they did have a 3-0 deficit, and of course we know in like 155 tries, nobody in NBA history has ever come back from a 3-0 deficit. The Lakers tried it this week and, you know, fell massively short. The Celtics did get game 4, though. Which, you know, Jimmy and I was talking about that a little while ago, and I was like, I can't see the Celtics getting swept. Celtics can go back home and win game 5. This gets interesting. Gets a little bit interesting. Because we do know they're a team. They're probably still the best team in the East, but they're just so inconsistent. And they've dug themselves a hole this time that I don't think they're going to be able to come back from. But I do think they have a chance to make it interesting. Do y'all give them any percentage of a chance of coming back and being the first NBA team ever to win a series after being down 3-0?
1%.
1%.
I give them.
Jimmy
got to
get hurt.
I'm a double. I'm a triple. Jimmy, I give them 3%. I give them a 3% chance. They're talented. They have the talent. Do you think Jaylen Brown in between games can learn how to dribble?
Probably not. His trainer that's a tall task for his trainer.
Right? First of all, the NBA.
But you know what can happen in between games? Tatum can text Kobe.
Hey, yo.
Yo.
That's what I'm saying. He's still be texting. I don't know if Kobe going to text back or if Vanessa going to text back and say, please stop texting this number. So
probably blocking. But yo, peep this though. Here's my thing, right? My thing is the Celtics. First of all, NBA basketball is hilarious because it's like, yo, we shoot threes. If we're hot, we win. If we go cold, we lose. And that's
we shoot threes and we lose.
Right. Yo, that's pretty much how most teams live and die. They live and die by the three. And that's the thing. The good teams though have a
so
way to adjust when their shots not falling. They adjust and start attacking the basket. The Celtics just be like, yo, we gonna keep bombing. Eventually we gonna make it or we not. But we forget adjusting. We gonna keep throwing these bombs up.
Right.
And as long as the playoffs go forward, what's interesting is you start to see the difference in coaching. You know what I mean? In game 32 in a regular season, you don't care about coaching. It don't really matter. But when you get deep in the playoffs and
right.
people are making adjustments left and right, you start to get exposed. And I think their coach is getting a little exposed. Although,
right. Because to your point, Jim, in game 32,
coaches.
Joe Mazzulla was a young genius. Now
yeah,
he's looking like a young
doc. Now he's going against one of the top 15 coaches of all time. You know, that's what, you know, because you got to get Spoelstra was also on that list. He's one of the top 15. What's crazy is because he's one of the top 15 coaches, but he's never been a coach of the year. But anyway, that's because he does his work in the playoffs. So now he's kind of being exposed. Yo, Eric Spoelstra will be making so many adjustments. I didn't realize till the other day, like, with the whole Kevin Love thing. Like, Kevin Love barely played in the first series. He'd be switching rotations and switching starting lineups. Like, he'd be really out there, you know what I'm saying, Queen's Gambit-ing people. And your man is just, like, out of his –
You can't be
you know,
afraid
he's
to do that,
court.
Though. Changes got to be made. You got to do it.
Yeah, dog. He makes changes. Like, he'll tap somebody, play, like, 48 minutes one night, and then based upon how stuff's going, you won't even – you get a DNP. Like, yo, how is that possible?
I mean, like, the Celtics come back and take this to a game 6 or 7, you might see Udonis Haslam. You got to pull out all the stops, though. You got to try something.
That's what coaches do. So the young coach is kind of getting exposed a little bit. He may somewhere laughing. But, you know, they always got a puncher's chance because I think that when you look at those two teams, they clearly have the most talent, but it takes more than that.
And that's the crazy part about narratives, though, Jim, because – If dude makes no changes, but Boston just, you know, decides to beat their chest and like, all right, we're the supremely talented team, and they happen to come back and win, they're going to put him in the top 15 after 1 year.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's, that's how we do.
He's going to replace Doc.
I'll be all right
the
with that.
It's like the boy said in that video. The reason the NBA sells the way it does is because it's not even about the talent. It's about the narrative.
Story.
The narratives
yep.
are what make the NBA so popular because people love stories.
Yes, sir. All right, so we'll see how that goes down. Jimmy Butler has shown, like, supreme confidence. He's in the fourth quarter. They're getting blown out. He over on the bench laughing with his teammates. After the game, he coming to the press conference singing. They asked him if that gave Boston some momentum. He like, nah, like, we all right. Like, if anything, it gave us momentum. The crazy part is, like, if you talk about stories, somebody with a cynical mind like me, I would love to see a team come back and win because of how they're acting, but I can't root for the Celtics to do that, so... Do your thing, Jimmy. Be cocky.
I want to see
shit like that backfire, yo. I really do.
Yo, yeah, of course, It's almost like someone is too confident in a TV show, and you just wait for them to get their comeuppance. Like, you sit there and watch the whole show.
Right.
You might not even like the show. You probably don't even like the damn show, but you're like, yo, I got to watch them get their comeuppance.
Right. And it's crazy that I think that way because I grew up a cocky motherfucker myself, so I don't even know why I like to see that, but I like drama.
Shout out to Jimmy for using the word comeuppance on the pod. That's major. Comeuppance. Yo, but being who we are, and again, I don't like to speak for my brothers, but I do it all the time, so, you know. Dog, being who we are, how can you not love Jimmy? Yo, he's about what we about. Yo, Jimmy Butler is about what we about. He works Yeah. He worked his ass off to be able to do the shit he does, and I'm not talking about what he does on the court. I'm talking about all that other drawing shit he does. He puts in work.
That's not nurture, dog. That's nature. Like, you know what I'm saying? You know it's poppin', and sometimes it's just in the glove.
Jimmy do a lot of stuff off the court. I want a hooper with extensions in his hair. Bamboo earrings.
Yo, the crazy part is, like, that whole narrative of him being the hardworking underdog kind of plays into it to the point where if they do go to the finals, unless they Denver beat them in four, no one will look at Jimmy like, oh, he got to the finals twice and could, like, he'll never have that thing.
He's never going
to
be a choke.
And it's just because of that narrative of him being the underdog dude.
Right. I mean, because there's still a lot of people out there who's reluctant to call him a superstar. I don't know what he got to keep doing in the playoffs to join those ranks. But Jimmy's right. Jimmy's never going to get that kind of treatment because he wasn't expected to in the first place.
Yo, I love and respect him, but if you ask me to name 30 NBA superstars, I might still miss Jimmy Butler. And
just by mistake.
30?
Yeah, I might miss. Yo, I'm gonna keep it
a
thousand.
That's a bit extreme, bro. 30 is a bit extreme.
Austin gonna be like Malcolm Brogdon. like what?
Yo, when I watch him hoop, or I see his interviews, yo, I love him. I can respect it, but I don't think of him probably the way that I should. I don't.
And that's what I'm saying. That's kind of the treatment he gets from everybody. I don't think it's like people doing it purposely. They just, I don't know. But think about how we judge things, because you're like, okay, regular season Jimmy ain't all that, but hey, we done made the regular season not mean a damn thing. So what Jimmy's doing should be, I mean, he should be the best player in the damn league at this point. If we just talking about playoffs.
Yeah, I got a question for y'all, yo. Do y'all think Kawhi even watches the playoffs?
I don't think Kawhi likes basketball. Kawhi don't watch sports.
Who you say?
Mute. Kawhi.
I don't know that his body of work. I don't know what you're talking about. Dude really be vanishing himself to the point where when his name comes up, I'm like, damn, I'm forgetting how nice this dude is.
But
to answer your question, no, he's not watching.
Care.
He's not watching.
But I wonder if he even watches.
I don't think
he watches
TV.
Bull don't like sports. Bull don't watch sports. Bull just got a job that pays him a whole lot of money.
You even think he got a TV? I don't think he got a TV. Dude is just weird, man. Yeah, that's a weird bull, man. I can't see Kawhi doing anything. Like, what does he do outside of basketball?
Get all that money and drive around in a 13-year-old Tahoe?
Like if I see Kawhi out doing something that we're doing, I'm going to be shocked. Like, damn, you do this?
He probably just fish. He probably just go right to the lake and just sit out there and fish all day.
Mm-hmm. Something
like that. And then go visit his sister.
Or just sit in his house and stare at the wall all day like he in timeout. He just look like that kind of cat.
Hey, yo.
And do push-ups, whole bunch of burpees.
Mm-hmm.
Get his hair braided in the same direction. Probably lead him Jones in for too long, 8 weeks.
I don't think he'd be around people for that. I think Kawhi probably braid his own hair. I think he do, man. All right, man.
Yo.
But the Lakers.
Yo, what type of prison dude do you have to be to braid your own hair?
Yo, he just don't look like he like being bothered with people, man. So.
Yo, first of all, why you sign a hoops contract with New Balance? Why you do that for?
Because they was paying him, and they don't make that many commercials, so he ain't got to do nothing.
Yeah, I ain't knocking him for that because that bag was crazy, and they not terrible either though. You know what I mean?
Yo,
like, you know,
he got like one commercial where Jack Harlow do all the talking. Like, you like, I ain't got to do nothing. You go to Nike, you got to make a commercial every other week.
Yo,
they got campaigns like four times a year. That you got to jump
yo,
on
they,
a few with
they
that.
They got like 79 million athletes, so you in the rotation.
Yeah. If I was him, I'd sign with ProCats. Don't matter. Somebody that ain't even got a TV budget.
But the Nuggets finished the Lakers off four games to nothing. In that final game, LeBron put up 40, 10, and 9. So you know what the story was afterwards. LeBron did his part. What did the rest? And I even told y'all this during the game, though. First quarter, when he had like 20, 21, or whatever he had in the first quarter, I was like, this is interesting because we've talked about for all of these years how calculated, contrived LeBron and his team is. So I'm like, I wouldn't even be surprised if they got together like, yo, win or lose, like, y'all not going to come back from 3-0. 150 teams haven't done it in the past. So at this point, you need to just shoot. Just go out firing, score as many points as you can so we can just change what the narrative and what the stories are going to be the next day. And whether they did it in a calculated manner or not, God forbid it didn't work because it seemed like it worked to me.
I kind of agree, but a little bit different. I don't think it was about – I think it was like, yo, you got to show that you're going out falling, like you're going out swinging. So I don't think the narrative was like, you go score. It's like, yo, you got to go out swinging because – and that's kind of what the people's problem was with Harden and B. Like, both results are L's. But don't go out looking like you quit. Like, you can't go out that way. You know what I mean?
But
like,
somebody said that to me and compared this, but I'm like, at the same time, that's game seven, you know what I'm saying, versus game four. There's no pressure in game four. Game four is like launching a three at the end of regulation because you know the game is already tied. So I can shoot any shot I want. The game is already tied. You see what I'm saying? Like, there's not a lot of pressure.
I guess I just see it different to me.
But down two, are you going to take
the
same three?
The other team has the ability to close you out. So I feel like any closeout game, any game where the other team has the ability to close you out, you got to go out swinging, whatever that may be. So I do think that it was thought about, but I just think it was thought about in a different way. Like, yo, we're going to go out with me swinging. You know, it's going to be part of the story. But one of the things I recognize about LeBron.
The only reason I look at that differently is because when you're down 3-0, it's not really swinging at this point. Like, at this point, you front.
I kind of disagree, right? Because, like, as long as you can play, you got to look at the Celtics, right? So we're just sitting there talking about, like, do they got a puncher's chance? And we all agree they have a puncher's chance. Like, you just got to go out swinging. But one of the things I recognize this week with this whole LeBron thing is, like, you know, all the accolades and everything he has, like, I do not envy Boris Light, dog, because he can't, no matter what he does one way or the other, it's like, yo,
he can't,
yo,
he
it's almost,
can't win.
He got two grown men fighting each other right now over him. Like,
yeah. Two big tongue mouths. You know what I mean?
You got Shannon and Kwame rumbling right now over him. He's like,
it's
yo,
like, dude,
no,
like,
I really know either one of
you. I wouldn't even want that life, dog. Like, you just got like,
yo,
yo,
not at
everything
not
is
at judged. Oh man, not at all. I wanna,
dog. They
I want
They
be
judge
just walking.
Like, look how he walks in. He ain't ready. Like, yo.
I want to be critical, man. I want to, and we gonna split. But dog just dropped 40. In the playoffs at 40. Like, I...
But I think that's a part of the story. Like, yo, LeBron dropped 40 at 38 years old. He did his part, man. The rest of them dudes trash. And it works. Like,
possibly.
Like, truthfully, what can you say about it? Like, this old head just dropped 40. What you do? Everybody else is going to be looked at. And that
is, to Jimmy's point,
different than early LeBron, when people would say, all right, he passing too much in these situations. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't really getting swept back then, but he's passing too much in these situations, so he got criticism for that. So, yeah, you're right.
B. Austin said a long time ago, man, when old people scored, you got to respect it because when you old, you could put nobody on the floor and you might not be able to score 40. Like, just because of condition,
yo,
like, if you 40 years old, it's hard to score 40
yo,
with nobody.
I know how hard it is to get 40. My man getting 40 at 40. Like, I got to put some respect on dude's name, man.
Yeah.
Like, I even though it's one of them things, like, where
And he played almost every minute of the game. All of them.
When Tom Terrific got number 7, I don't want to admit that he's the greatest QB, but what I'm going to say? What am I doing?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I know. I think the big head boy Paul from Indianapolis and Denver and Marino. But, like, yo, what can you say? Yo, he put up – I splitting hairs to me would be, why didn't you save some of that energy and put up some shots in the fourth, meaningful shots? But it's like maybe he ran out of gas. Maybe he went out. AD ought to be ashamed of himself.
I don't know. Either way, it's AD's fault.
Yeah.
I mean.
No matter how you slice it. Even though AD averaged 27 and, like, 14 in the series. It's his fault.
Listen, man. As talented as AD is, I never been a big AD fan ever since he laid on the floor and let people play with his booty hole.
Yeah, that was
so, he's been a weirdo.
But this is still a prime example, though, dog. You play with LeBron, your whole narrative changes regardless of what you do. If you injured half the time or not. Look, the bull Chris Bosh, Hooper before he went to Miami. And even though he's in the Hall of Fame, I don't really know if there's any fans out there who acknowledge him as such. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think anybody thinks of Hall of Fame when they think of Chris Bosh because people forget. People forget. And
he the same as Kevin Love.
Kevin Love.
See, but I think Chris Bosh is different, right? Because
some of that to himself, though, before he got with LeBron.
No one cared about even Chris Bosh in Toronto, though. Only real hoop fans. Like, to the average person, when he played in Toronto and he was putting up some crazy numbers and having, you know, he had his own team and all that, no one really cared. I remember when he came to Miami, some people weren't even calling it the Big Three. They were like, yo, Bron and Wade.
Right.
Like, they were ignoring him already.
Right.
Because
ignorable.
Unless,
no, but that's what
yeah,
that,
so yeah.
Not my point was that they – not that they cared, but what he did, whether you cared or not, what my man Flip said, can't erase what he was. Like, you couldn't erase what he did.
Because I remember people, like, wondering, because Bron and Wade held him in high regard. But I remember people wondering why they were holding him in high regard. Like, this is about Batman and Robin. It's not about, you know, a three-headed monster. And I'm like, damn, he disrespected his boss. Like,
for the people who were standing out, you could also use Chris Bosh as that, you know, well, what do you mean? They don't have three of the best players in the league because people wouldn't acknowledge, a lot of people wouldn't acknowledge that even though he was. So instead of people saying, man, they got three top 10 players in the league, it was like, well, they got three top 25 players in the league trying to make the situation seem like it was less than it was. But like you said, real hoopers and real hoop fans knew.
I get what you're saying.
Like, come on,
I feel like that's
crazy.
I feel like that would have happened regardless. He stayed in Toronto and kept putting up the numbers in Toronto. No one would have still put him in the top 10. Yo, people just didn't care for Chris Bosh. So no matter whether he came to Miami and won rings or stayed there. He still would have been treated like Chris Bosh. Prices,
25 and 12 would have said differently, so it really wouldn't have mattered what they thought.
But I think it was a timing thing, though. If he comes around now, he'd probably be a star for different reasons, but that's either here or there.
but when he got with them, though, he didn't even put up his numbers that he was used to putting up. So it just totally derailed his individual career, but he still ended up being a Hall of Famer because he still did what he was able to do. He did what he did before then, and then he got two titles out of it. So,
but I say, AD got a ring. Same with K-Love. K-Love got a ring messing with Bron, too.
He stayed in Toronto, he'd have been mellow. He probably would have made it, possibly, but it would have been a question. The two rings is what makes it not a question, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he got less respect than Melo. Like, I remember, like, yo.
Oh, no,
Chris Bosh,
he wasn't. Chris Bosh, nobody
holds him. Mad disrespected.
Yeah.
I'm like, he's mad disrespected. He's still disrespected. But nobody never liked Ball, so, you know,
I mean,
no matter what he
probably,
did, nobody liked him.
People probably, Blake Griffin probably going to go down better than Chris Bosh.
just a dislikable dude. I don't know why, just a dislikable
dude. And Blake
dude.
Is another probably one, man. People going to forget because of how he's ending things, but.
Probably because
Lil
Wayne smashed his wife.
Blake was a top 5 to 10 player in the league at one point. It didn't last that long, but he was up there.
Yeah, Chris Bosh let Lil Wayne smash his wife and then tell everybody. So, you know,
Yeah, yeah. So, the crazy part, we did all this, and we haven't even talked about the biggest story of the week. You know, because it's not really that LeBron had 40 in the closeout. It's not that the Lakers got swept. It's not that everybody in the world is jumping back on Joker's balls now because he made the finals. And now, you know, Joker even gets respect in Philadelphia, which he never did. The real story is our quote of the week. And our quote of the week is, going forward with the game of basketball, I've got a lot to think about. Some follow-up questions ensued off of that. That's LeBron James after being swept by the Denver Nuggets. So LeBron put some doubt in anybody's mind who might believe him that there's a chance that he might retire. Y'all think there's a chance that LeBron might retire? Or is this LeBron just snatching the headlines from that sweep?
Not on your life or retire.
1%. But I feel like in that moment when he said it, I think he probably meant it. Like, you just got swept. Tired as hell. You just put up 40. And I also low-key think that's part negotiation, too. Because, you know, LeBron be doing them year-to-year joints.
Right.
So I think it's part negotiation. Part, he probably felt that way in the moment because you just got your ass bust.
It's also part, it's Jimmy, like, I need better teammates. Because if they say, LeBron thinking about quitting because he probably thinks it's such a grind with this particular group that he might not think it's worth coming back. So we gotta make the roster even stronger so LeBron can get back on board with another run.
The reason I say 1%, though, I still think that LeBron is more about his business than anything else. And I sit there and look at the landscape. I'm like, what if Ball do want to retire for a year until his son is, you know, ready to come in the league and then figure out where he's going to take his talent?
But even that, because he cleaned that up. Because people asked him, like, well, you've been talking for the last couple of years about playing with your son, so how do you figure yourself, you know, maybe retiring now? He even said in that instance, Jim, he was like, well, you know, just because that was my dream doesn't necessarily
mean
that was his. So he's basically saying, I'm not going to force that on him. You know, I'm not going to make all my decisions based on that because – he never really expressed that. Brian probably be at Taco Tuesday saying, son, we're going to play together. And son be like, fuck out of that. But,
yeah, I mean, that probably was cap, but.
Yeah, it probably was, but it was a nice, but it was a banging-ass answer. It was a dope-ass answer, but it probably was cap.
Here's the thing about NBA conspiracies, right? NBA conspiracies work because no matter which way the ball bounces, you can make a conspiracy, right? So I'm looking at the Cleveland Cavaliers, right? Everybody knows LeBron's association with the Cavaliers. I'm looking at the young nucleus they got. I'm looking at the fact that they probably have a pick later in the draft, which could be Bronny. And I'm looking at the fact that there's affiliation with their coaching staff and where he went in USC. So there's, like, a lot of things lining up. Like, they're trying to put the play together. And, again, it's all speculation, but it's funny. That's why NBA conspiracies are funny, because you can make one about anything. Because now the conspiracy was that the league wanted the Lakers in, but now the Lakers lost. The conspiracy is they wanted Denver in, because you can make the conspiracy either way. But point being,
right.
That's why I say the 1%. Like, because, yo, when you look at Bron's body of work and you look at how many times he's been in the playoffs, I think either he just said or he's close to setting the most playoff games ever played. Yo, he got a couple extra seasons of tread just from playoffs. So my man might want to take a year off. You know what I'm saying? You might want to take a year off just to, you know, some recuperation or come back and have one of them Kawhi seasons where he barely play anyway. I do think the whole idea of playing with or against Bronny is, like, you know, is there.
No doubt.
Imagine boy have to check his pop on a switch. They play against each other and they do a switch. He got to check his pop.
Imagine his pop bowling him over and dunking on him. Or imagine him dunking on his pop. Because you really haven't seen Brian get banged on much throughout NBA history. And you know his son would really try it. Just because.
Imagine if they was on the same team, what kind of drawn-ass handshake Brian going to have him, like, you know.
Imagine if Brownie don't even make it and he got to wait for Bryce. Because he gone.
Yo, Prince Bryce going to come and be better than all of them.
He's going to be better than MJ. Be awesome. I forgot it. All right, so That was actually the biggest story of the week. You know, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on it because it's been beaten down all week by everybody. But for me, you know, I think it's Cap. I think, you know, and this is out of respect. This is not out of me taking a shot. I think LeBron always knows what he's saying, when he's saying it, how he's saying it. I just think everything has a more profound meaning for him. And Jimmy laid out some of the bullet points of what it could be. You know what I'm saying? Could be negotiation, could be this, could be that. I think there's a 0% chance that LeBron is going to retire during this offseason. Because I also think every record that LeBron's close to, he wants to shatter. Every record he's already shattered, he wants to put it out of reach. Because I really do think LeBron, he's all about this whole GOAT conversation. So I think it's different for him. Like, and I mean, and think about it. You know, he had the foot injury, but in comparison to any other player who's played till 38 years or over, LeBron is relatively healthy and playing at a very high level. So it's like, no, if you got a chance to put a stranglehold on the record books, why not do it?
When you look at what he did at 38 versus other people that have played at 38, like,
right,
he's literally in a class all by
close.
Himself. It's like,
close.
Yo, he almost averaged 30 this year.
Like Reem won finals MVP at 38. But how many years have I been telling y'all, finals MVP doesn't impress me as much because you only got to do it for a certain amount of games. Like,
yeah,
Shaq told y'all all the time,
every time
I'll
I
let
hear,
Kobe carry the load,
that.
And then when this comes, big dog's got to eat. So Shaq would purposely make Kobe carry his bag.
I heard someone make the argument that that's the most impressive award you can have. And they laid it out very well. But it's funny because I always hear you say that you don't respect it. And
I don't think it's the most impressive one.
And they backed it up with statistics and all.
I mean,
that.
It might be the most
there.
Meaningful one, but I don't think it's that impressive. You know what I'm saying? It's definitely meaningful.
I mean,
come on.
You think about the MVP in a championship series.
So it means more, but.
Yeah, because also that probably means that you're probably playing against the best competition. Like, you can dominate in the regular season and don't mean nothing. Like, you know,
yeah.
Which can lead us to our driven conversation. Like, people didn't really respect him even though he just toyed with the league all regular season until they saw him do it on the big stage.
I mean, shout out to my man B. Austin, but Chauncey got one. Yeah.
Hey, listen, man. I just wanted to say that. the funny thing about it is his jump was weak anyway. Even though he did get it, that was a weak series.
And like three people could have got it. Even Paul Pierce.
Yo, that was a weak series, dog. Yo, the scores in that game was like 62-59. Like,
yo, I watched the Sam I Am documentary. Sam I Am or two.
Sam got a documentary?
Oh, word? They really trying to push him for this head coaching gig if he got a documentary.
I didn't even see that, John.
You said Sam I Am or Chauncey?
Yeah.
That's difficult for me, but Chauncey, his reputation at its peak was better than Sam's reputation at its peak. But Sam had game, yo.
Sam had
so I think I'll go with that and say Chauncey, but
I'm gonna say Sam, yo. I'm gonna say
Sam was one of
those
dudes that had a skill set. His
when
skill set
Sam,
was
yo,
better
think,
than a
I
lot
think,
of people that was better than him, if that makes sense.
I think of clutch moments. I think about his time in with the Timberwolves. Like people forget.
I mean,
Bull
was called Mr. Big Shot though.
No, like
no. Listen, Dad, to Jimmy's point. I know where you're going. Real quick, let me just say this.
And I know B is surprised that I'm caping for Chauncey.
Yeah,
because
usually you be hating. I'm gonna find it and send it to y'all, and y'all know how I feel about Sam. To be honest, there were times when Sam didn't get All-Star nods that he should have.
Yeah.
And it was because they couldn't put him on a picture. You can't mark it.
Hey,
I think a lot of things was because you couldn't put Sam on a picture. Think about it. Sam is one of those dudes, he probably came into the league as an underdog, and I ain't even trying to be funny, but it might have had a lot to do with how he looked. Like, he was an underdog. Sam,
yo, Yo, Jimmy. Yo, it's years. It's seasons when Sam was like 19 a game, and like
and talk.
Was cooking.
You can't put Sam on TV a lot the way he talks.
Yo, how am I? What I'm supposed to do with that? What I'm supposed to do with like Sam was really cooking, and could have. There's easily been times when you put guys in the All-Star game with his numbers, even if they didn't necessarily deserve it, but they made it, and Sam had no shot. Sam made one All-Star appearance and should have equaled Chauncey.
Maybe he should have had a couple of Chauncey's appearances. I mean,
yeah,
I'm just saying.
That's kind of where I'm going with it. I ain't going to hold you. There's Sam was more of a killer, in my opinion, than Chauncey was. When you watch this documentary, you look at the numbers, you look at who he played with, because there was times when Big Dog went down and
Ray
was
acting like
Red. Ray was on his period, yo, and Sam carried the entire franchise and had no problems doing it. But you can't throw him in the all. We can't have it. Sam would have had to get the nod that he needed. Sam would have had to average 24 a game.
Yeah, because you can't, like, when you look that way and then you sound like Cookie Monster, if Cookie Monster was from Baltimore, like, it's just a whole lot working against you. Like, you can't be out there like, hey, T here. Like,
hey, B. Austin, you taking Sam I Am or Nick Van Exel?
Oh, well,
don't do that.
If we're talking highlight packages,
listen.
Nick Van Exel is like top five of all time. Highlight packages.
Numbers are similar, dog. They not far off. And people forget when Nick went to Denver, he was the dude. He averaged over a dub. Like numbers ain't far off.
You know what the difference is, though? The difference is going to be Sam had more success. Nick gave you them numbers, but you know Sam been in the conference finals a couple of times. Sam got two titles that people forget about.
Who got a better highlight package?
Oh well, he top five.
Definitely,
I mean,
definitely Nick.
If you're gonna say that, highlight
Nick.
Package,
yo,
Nick Van Exel or Kobe Bryant, like he in them arguments.
Yeah, Nick Van Exel got a top five highlight package in the history of hoops, dog.
That's what I'm about to say. Like Nick, he in that class.
Nick could do something to you. Nick would do something to you. Sam was just efficient like a
bucket. And I showed y'all.
Go get a bucket.
I sent y'all some Baron Davis highlights today, too. Baron might be up there top 10, 15 as far as highlight packages are concerned. Baron used to do some things.
Yeah, he got crazy highlights. Yo, your man, you know who got bottom five highlights of all time? Julian Newman.
Machine gun dribble.
Bottom five highlight clip of all time.
His highlight clip, like Harlem Globetrotter.
For one second, you brought up Julian Newman. Yo, shout out to O'Neal Alphonse. Don't nobody know, but
yo, he also be naming names. I'm saying, shout out to him though. Was his rap name ODO? Shout out to ODO, man. Oh. Man, ODO.
Yo.
We knew
Julian Newman before Julian Newman knew Julian Newman.
All right, man. So our stat of the week, man, this is quite impressive in itself, man. Either as a player, coach, or team executive, Pat Riley has been a participant in 25% of all NBA Finals games ever played. And the funny thing is, they're throwing these stats out because they went up 3-0. I mean, it's not going to change it, but it would be crazy if Miami, you know, if they sold the farm on this, because this is the reason we're talking about it. But it doesn't change that he would have been a part of 25%. It might drop down to 24.7 if they lose and he's not a part of these finals games. But that's impressive, man, that this dude, they're basically saying he's a basketball lifer, and he's just – a basketball winner. Like, for all his life, he's just been a damn winner.
What makes that even more impressive and weird?
If it's a championship, he involved.
What makes that more impressive and weird is because with all the content that's come out over the last couple of years about the Lakers, whether it's documentaries or the series on HBO, and you see Rouse before he became a head coach when he was like, you know, didn't have the confidence and was somebody's young boy and was just a basketball nerd.
Right.
And you see him kind of like, you know, go from a basketball nerd to like working himself.
Yo, they wouldn't even put him on the staff. He was working with Chick Hearn. He was a damn radio announcer.
Yeah. But he loved the game. He just loved the game. Like he, now.
Jimmy,
man,
how did that bike accident change history? That's some Back to the Future shit. Like something happened. Somebody went back in a DeLorean, made this bull fall off his bike, and it changed the whole. What's it called? The something time
continuum.
Yeah, the space-time continuum, and it's a whole different timeline of things that happen because that boy is probably supposed to be Pat Riley or at least greater, the boy Jack. But
yeah,
that happened. Westfall came on, took Pat Riley out of the broadcast booth, and the rest was freaking history. Took his damn job, and the rest was history.
Yep. Pretty much,
he's been a part of 25% of every NBA Finals game ever played.
Salute to Riles, man.
Riles that bull. And he looked like a character from Goodfellas. Jim, what happened this week while everybody was on the Grizz Naive, man?
Absolutely. And while you were on the Grizz Naive, it's brought to you by Digital Extreme Technologies. If you don't know what that is, then you haven't been listening, and you should start listening. So make sure you go to digitalextremetech.com or call 267-205-4203 and just go, and they will take care of you. But it's time to talk about what happened while you were on The Grizz Not Me. All right, man, you got to
Yeah, man, Riles be out there looking like Jimmy Conway.
Money today, yanny. Anyway, let's talk about Young Ja, man. Young Ja, who you know, got scared by Shannon and started, you know, carrying pistols. But police
have
to perform a wellness check on Ja Morant after he sends cryptic messages on social media talking about how he loves his mom, how he, you know, bye forever and all that kind of stuff. So
want more attention.
Yeah.
And somebody said that, like, this is who was it? I think it was Willie D from the Ghetto Boys. I think he's like, this is the classic, you know, try to get everybody to feel sorry for you when you're in trouble to take the shine off of that.
Like, yeah, Willie D went too far, though, boy. Willie D basically told boy, yo, go buy yourself.
What did he say, Jim? If you're going to do it, pull the trigger then.
Yeah, you going to do it. Yo, Willie D went too far, dog. Yeah,
he had him on the roof like, you smoke crack, don't you? Jump.
Willie D might have went a little bit too far, but yeah. So, shout out to Ja, man. Like, I keep telling y'all, man, like, yo, for me, boy needs help, man.
Yeah, but he said bye after all of that, like Jimmy said. When the police went over there to perform the wellness check, you know, they found out, or at least he said, no, I was just saying bye because I'm going to get off of social media for a little while. So he's like, you know, I'm going to flash this heat. I'm just not going to do it on social media.
I'm pulling
But Ja knew damn well people were going to be, come on, you're not stupid. You know people are going to be like, oh, snap, what Ja about to do? Like, you know what you're doing
when
you do something like that.
What's crazy about that is there's a gentleman, I forgot his name, but he was like a well-known social media dude. He was a Ravens fan. And, like, the day before Ja did that, he kind of put up a tweet, like, yo, this is my last tweet. Good luck to the Ravens in the future, but, you know, I'm out of here. Bye. Something to that effect. And actually bodied himself. So, you know, that was trending. Yeah, so that was trending for a couple of days. And then you see Ja do this, and it's like, yo, this is on the back.
If we do that, you think the cops come over here to check on us? Or we don't get enough buckets?
Yo, I mean, you know, can you put up 20 and 10?
Right. What do you do? All you do is spin records.
So you can do 20 and 10, you know what I'm saying? A little different, but, you know, Ja, man, get help, bro. That's all I say. My only words are guys, man, get help. Ja bless. All right, man, listen, Glenn Doc Rivers, is now a finalist for the Phoenix Sun job already, man. My man just got fired, like, 8 days ago, and now he's
gonna take Monty's job. Maybe they're just gonna switch. Maybe Monty will get the Sixers job, and he'll get that job.
Oh,
and then both
hilarious.
Teams can be like, "Damn, we could have performed a trade instead of just letting them walk." And
as usual with what we deal with, America, as black people, as black men, it's like we fight so hard for these positions of influence, power, and control that rightfully we should have, particularly in spaces where we are represented and where we are the major revenue generator and we are the draw to the show. We want that. But then it's almost like you have the doctor, right? Yo, you trash, homie. And I can't defend it. Like, I want to be able to defend black coaches and the fact that we are underrepresented and should be more represented. We should have an opportunity to get a little get back for what has been done through the years. But, yo, homie makes it hard, man. So now here you're about to fall into another coaching job and muck that up for sure, because the level of talent that's there, oh, you best believe they're a playoff team. They're going to be a playoff contender. You're going to get in the dance and muck it up again and get another chance.
So here's the thing. I tell you, listening to that thing about the business of basketball put a lot of things in perspective, right? Because with the sharing and all that, when you look at NBA ownership, what they're looking for when they hire a coach is basically like a manager. Like, you know, if you ran a company, you want a manager. And Doc has proven that he can run an organization, maybe not to a championship level. He's safe. He's never going to say anything crazy in the media to have your team looking, you know, wild. You also check a box, because you got a quote unquote brother running your team. So
the craziest thing he's ever said in Philly, Jim, was I don't know.
Yo,
they asked
that's
him
it.
If
like,
Ben
so
Simmons
could
be a championship point guard.
He's never gonna say anything to kind of put your team at risk. He's proven he can. Yo, I mean, listen, if he want Barberry and Coochie, that's his problem. But the thing is, by the way. Dad caught that one. That's a
Umar
shot to
not
the brother
attention,
Umar.
Man.
Shot to the brother Umar. But anyway,
Dr. Umar and Kwame Brown, top five content creators on social media.
Absolutely.
Without even trying.
So I see why Doc will always have a job, man. I mean, that's just the bottom line, man. Doc will, you know, keep a job, and it's understandable.
Yeah, no doubt. I don't disagree with that, you know. I think this boy, you know, whether he does well where he is, like, this boy gonna always keep a job too.
I'm very proud to be African American, but I'm also very proud that my wife is white.
How is that necessary, man? Why was that necessary?
Yeah.
Get it?
Hey Dev, I was low key gonna put the Umar joint on the board,
that
nigga's name is Cuban. I was like, no, Dev might pass out.
Oh, you? I know. I wouldn't have been able to do the show. We'd have had to do that like after the outro music, and then just go out to Umar
you might have passed out. So, but anyway, man. What I'm being said, man. Yo, Tom Brady, is to become a minority owner of the Raiders, right?
The rich get richer.
Now, I did read something on this. Now, I don't know how true it is, where they were saying that, you know, he won't have anything. He can't do anything with decision-making. I don't know how true that is. Like, it's just
but
going
do
to
he
be,
want to? He's going to have a lot to do with money-making. That's all I need. You know, fuck them decisions.
True. But, you know, so
now,
I don't know how true that is, though.
Now, he, you know, because he's supposed to be friends with, you know, the Davis, Al Davis' sons or whatever. So that's where this is coming from. He's also, which they own as well, he's also a minority owner of the WNBA team, the Las Vegas Aces. So, you know, Tom Brady, do y'all think this has anything to do with the fact that he told everybody to kind of slow down, like whoa, 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 on his broadcast career? Because he got a lifetime of money waiting for him to broadcast, and we don't even know if he's good on TV or not. Like, Tom Brady just has options.
Yo, that's nuts, yo.
Right, like you can. What do you want to do, Tom? We'll give you $300 million to do TV, even though you've never done TV. Hey, Tom, you want to own a piece of my franchise, Tom? Like, dude got options because he was a great quarterback. It's crazy what you can do in this world, man. Shout out to him. You, y'all there?
Yes.
Oh my bad. I was muted. I was running my mouth. I was muted. My bad, I was muted. I was saying, yo, that's also a little bit of, you know, hit the bell, white prayers, because the options he got is just wild, yo.
That's they ain't that's offering next my level man. They ain't offering my man Warren Moon any of that.
Yo.
I mean, I'm slow because we ain't did it in a while, but here we go. The supremacy bell.
Yo,
we still on it.
Off a Warren Moon, though.
Yo, you remember when B. Austin used to have us ringing the supremacy bell like 65 times an episode?
Absolutely.
Yo, yeah, he was going
the good old days, man. All that stuff as we approach, you know, September and our last shows, at least in this format, we got to dredge up all them old memories and
yeah,
get back
yo.
To some of the stuff we used to do. Might have to pass the rock a couple times.
Yeah,
pretty much. So, Deb, before you tell us what happened is
definitely
going to
bring some JoJo's out.
If you want some barbarian coochie, be mine.
Yo.
If you're not thirsty and you need
yo.
Some barbarian coochie, go get you some barbarian coochie. And I hope she got.
Why does he repeat everything he say three times? Yeah, he got to say it three times, every time.
Because you're going to get these bars, dog.
Right. He's not going to make a point and not – you're going to make sure – slow it down.
If you want some barbarian coochie, be my guest. If you're that thirsty that you need some barbarian coochie, go get you some barbarian coochie. And I hope she got
– Oh, my God. All right, man, this date in sports history, boy, Umar said barbarian coochie. This date in sports history brought to you by Sports the Book, man. Y'all know what it is. Get you a copy of the greatest sports book ever written by War Room's own Jimmy the Blueprint. You can do that at warroomsports.com, sportsthebook.com, amazon.com. Don't matter where you get it. Just make sure you get it. Got it. All right, so this date in sports history, May 25th, 1935, legendary track athlete Jesse Owens equals or breaks four world records in 45 minutes at a Big Ten meet at Ferry Field in Ann Arbor, Michigan. This feat, this day was remembered as the greatest 45 minutes ever in sport. Yo, boy, broke or equaled four world records in 45 minutes. I mean, the fact that he was able to do it in 45 minutes, that's a testament to whoever set up that day, though, because, man, I hear people whose kids run track. They always talk about how, whoa, that's like an all-day affair, because you could have one event at 8 a.m. and then running your next event at, like, 2 p.m., and you're just sitting around all day. So I know Jesse was like, thank y'all for putting these races back to back to back. I'm going to just go out here and crack all these records. And we want to give him a salute for this day and all the feats that he's, you know, accomplished in his historical, legendary, momentous career. Shout out to Jesse Owens.
Boy. Let's get out of here, man. Shout out to everybody for your support.
Shout out to everybody getting that barbarian coochie.
For y'all support throughout the years, man.
Proud of being African American.
Be found.
Also proud that my wife is black.
Can be found at the hub of warroomsports.com. That's right, warroomsports.com. Check out everything we got going on. Get my book, Sports the Book, at warroomsports.com. So listen, man, till next time, everybody, don't accept mediocrity. Be steadfast in the war against ignorance. We'll see you chumps on Till's Night 8.
Get you some barbarian cooch.
The blueprint.
Yo.
Every Thursday, 6 to 8, they do this. Shout out to Dev, PJ, Be Austin, Doc Bay on replay. WarRoomSports.com. Get that mobile app. If not, dial.
Call it
323-0012. If you're going and you sensitive, then oh well.
Yeah.
Physical podcast, let's talk sports. Showtime like magic in the block push.
Magic.
Listen live, push one to join in. Rip your team or listen for your enjoyment. pit stop and knowledge. Just me and sports credits, I ain't talking college. Five guys, no beef though. Corporate secret, but the streets know. Belafonte, I got a G flow. KC, royalty, I'm in beast mode. 2 hours, get your game up. Who's the best in sports cast, you better name us. War Room Sports.
I'm very proud to be African American, but I'm also very proud that my wife is white.
War Room Sports, www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.